Hello, everybody. How are you? How is everything in your world, folks? I have been neglectful. So I have a podcast that I have not been updating. Basically, my main focus is on writing and then YouTube. So I have to get my podcast game at least back on the air. So what I'm going to do is, if you don't know, my name is Joe Ditzel. I have a series of books called Joe Ditzel Has Some Problems and a YouTube channel of the same name. So that has been my main focus. What I'm going to do as an experiment is record a series of, right here on this recording, we're going to record some of the stuff that I've written over the past week and call that a podcast. Hey, if it doesn't work, if it's lame, if it's terrible, though, I'm the boss. I can do what I want. We'll trash it. We'll start over. But at least then I'm getting a podcast back going, which is laid dormant on iTunes or wherever the hell, forever. So with that in mind, let's go through some of the lame jokes and bad humor writing that I've done over the past week. For example, at joeditzel.com, I've been trying to get back into writing topical jokes. So, for example, this topical jokes are fun. So I look for news stories and then write nine, what I call nine lame jokes and one good one from that topic. Here you go. Hundreds of mysterious radio signals from space have been detected by alien hunting artificial intelligence. The first signals said, "Can you hear me now?" Oh, that was bad. "Do they really want to contact us? It could be downhill from here for them. It could be ET still trying to phone home. It could be from an advanced alien world, or it might be reruns of I Dream of Jeannie bouncing around the stars." That's right. Hundreds of mysterious radio signals from space have been detected. Wow. Ryan Seacrest is everywhere. Why are these signals in these stories so weak and hard to hear? Are scientists using Android phones? You know, maybe some alien's ship broke down and he's trying to contact OnStar. One message said, "I tried texting you three times, but you didn't respond." Trump got in on, of course, Trump's comment. He tweeted, "Aliens, no more aliens, build the wall." And finally, what if these aliens turn out to be friendly? I mean, way too friendly, like annoying. Nobody wants that. Deedly. All right, let's try another one. I told you. All right, here's nine lame jokes and one good one about the New York subway. Let's see. New York subway authorities responded to a complaint about a delay by saying it would take 5 to 10 years to fix it. What? And that time, Trump could be elected again and half the country will have moved to Canada. By that time, self-driving cars will eliminate the need for the subway altogether. One subway rider said, "Sure, sure, 10 years, I believe you. The next thing you'll tell me is the Mets are going to win the pennant in this century." One subway official said, "We could do it faster, but I just got into that new series Mayans on FX." The mayor's office responded to the controversy. "We expect these problems will be better handled by subway riders with the inevitable legalization of marijuana in New York." 5 to 10 years? Heck, some hardened criminals are getting a lighter sentence than that. We haven't seen a delay like that since Christie stopped traffic on the George Washington Bridge. One New Yorker said, "Way too long. Give me my cousin Joey a backhoe and a jackhammer, and I'll have it done in 6 days tops." 7 if Joey starts drinking again. But 5 to 10 years, heck, it didn't take that long for Giovanni Verrazzano to discover the area in 1524. One subway official said, "Hey, where else are you going to go? Boston? Forget about it." Ding dong. I need a little ding dong. It says that the bit is over. The pain is over. All right, I wrote this the day that Hurricane Florence was supposedly going to hit shore, which it did. So I think that was September 14th. I wrote, at this writing, Hurricane Florence is beginning to hit the North Carolina coast. Why do TV networks send their anchors, weather people, and reporters directly into the very heart of storms to cover them? Why? Weather catastrophes are the only time this happens. A top anchor would never agree to go into the heart of a dangerous virus outbreak. We need you to go into the heart of the virus outbreak to cover it. The American people are counting on you, says the producer. I'm on it, the anchor says, jutting his jaw forward. Bring me on the danger we face. And he throws on his safari jacket that he wears for remote area shoots. The producer says, well, the virus makes your hair fall out, it drops your sperm count permanently, and it causes your voice to rise 3 octaves for a 5-year period, reading from a Center for Disease Control report as he follows the anchor toward the office door. What? The anchor says as he slows his strut toward the door. Let's put Johnson on this story. Science is his wheelhouse. Did you say drops your sperm count permanently? Yes, science is Johnson's wheelhouse. Let's put him on it. America wants me to be in New York to supervise the coverage. Oh, man. All right, here's a topical piece. Topical art piece. A Georgia small town is for sale. A small town in Georgia is for sale for $1.7 million. If you bought it, you could be the police chief of your own town, but if you are arrested, you have to identify yourself to yourself. $1.7 million. For another $100,000, they'll throw in the Atlanta Hawks. Now, the bidding will be competitive. Kanye wants to buy it and name it Yeezusville. You could stage your own parade in your town, but it would consist of only 15 people, 3 cows, and a blind duck with a limp. Trump said, I'm going to buy this town, rename it Trumpboro, and sell it for $1 trillion. Of course, it's a small town in Georgia. People are asking, but does it come with some sweet tea? $1.7 million, that's the same amount the Atlanta Braves spend on rosin bags. The town, this is true, comes with its own antique opera house. I imagine it has its own phantom, but the phantom sings with a southern accent. Do they really want to sell this town, a small town in Georgia? Someone call Kim Basinger. She'll take it. If you don't know, she bought a small town at one time. A small town in Georgia is for sale, but you... it includes its own barbershop. You get a barbershop, but you can't tell the barber, listen, make me look good on this one. I'm going into town today. See, because you're already in town. You own the town. All right, topical joke, cryptocurrencies. Cryptocurrencies are like Bitcoin. You've probably heard of Bitcoin. Cryptocurrencies have dropped 80% in the last 8 months. There goes my plans for Ditzelcoin. Cryptocurrencies have dropped 80%, but the interest keeps going up on these 7,536 credit cards I opened to buy Bitcoin. One guy said, this is worse than my investment in Trump University. Another person said the only thing that has dropped so fast was ABC firing Roseanne. That means my personal net worth has dropped $63 trillion. The only thing hanging lower now is my pasta belly. By the way, I get dibs on the term pasta belly, in case somebody else already invented it. One guy, this is true, one guy lost $30,000 when he lost his Bitcoin PIN number and couldn't remember it, so he couldn't get to his Bitcoins. Hey, I understand. If I lost my bank account PIN number, I'd be out of, let's see, $4.76. Cryptocurrencies have dropped 80% in the last 8 months. That's my biggest personal loss since my hair started falling out in the third grade. The only Bitcoin mining going on now is the excavation of my wallet. Hey, I'm not worried. I diversified my savings with half in Bernie Madoff's investments and then half in weekly group lottery buys with my friends at work. Don't worry, the pain ends. The pain ends. We're going to break it up a little bit. Here is a piece I wrote, an art piece. Where did I get the word piece? Here's an essay I wrote called In Honor of Burt Reynolds, the Top 5 Smokey and the Bandit Movies. If you don't know, movie star Burt Reynolds passed away recently. He, of course, became famous on many movies, but one of the biggest movies he was in was called Smokey and the Bandit, which led to 15 or 20 or 30 different sequels. Here are the top five of all those movies. Here are the top five. And the first one, the best movie of all of those, was, of course, the original. See, the first movie is still the best. Starring Burt Reynolds and a bunch of other people, Smokey and the Bandit did what no other marketing had been able to do at that point in time. Sell a shipload of black and gold Pontiac Transams with a huge, gaudy eagle on the hood. Number two, top five Smokey and the Bandit movies. The second best one was Smokey and the Bandit 5, Devil's Island. Finally nabbed by the grandson of the original Smokey, Bert is sent to prison on the same small remote island they sent Pappy onto. Bert, being Bert, he escapes by building a motorboat out of Trans Am parts he smuggled in his pants. The third best Smokey and the Bandit movie, Smokey and the Bandit 3, Oil Spill. In this one, Bert gets caught up in an illegal oil drilling scheme and spends the rest of the movie trying to clear his name while romancing Sigourney Weaver and Kathleen Turner at the same time. Number four, Smokey and the Bandit, Fire Booth, which was the second movie. Bert wants to follow in the footsteps of legendary daredevils like Evel Knievel. Donning a custom-made fireproof jumpsuit sponsored by an early version of SoundCloud called Noisewater, Bert attempts to jump the Hudson River in a combination Camaro, Apollo rocket, and phone booth. Number five, the fifth best Smokey and the Bandit movie was the fourth one, Smokey and the Bandit 4, Railroaded. Frustrated by a breakdown in salary negotiations with the movie's producers, Bert tells them he won't drive during the entire film. So they rework the script to show Bert as an undercover agent hiding in Italian supercars shipped across country on rail lines. It was great. We miss you already, Bert. And thanks. Dino. All right, here is a topical joke series of topical. Well, here's what I call it. I call it 9 lame jokes and 1 good one. And this one is called more and more businesses don't require a college degree anymore. Hey, thank goodness more businesses are no longer requiring a college degree to get hired. In fact, a third of the world's billionaires don't have degrees. In other words, you'll get more college girls with your own yacht than sitting next to them in organic chemistry. Thank goodness these businesses don't ask for a college degree. Not one of my digital marketing professors had a Facebook account. I mean, they say you'll learn things from college, but I already learned to drink beer from my older brother when I was 9. These businesses don't need a college degree. Not one company has ever asked me to drop an egg 5 stories without breaking it. Not one company asked how I was doing on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And the colleges are way behind anyway. In my advanced computing course, we used punch cards. Not businesses, they don't care. They really care. It just become like a ticket, like something they just ask for. It's become a habit in corporate America to ask for a college degree. But not one boss ever said to me in my working world, "So what's up with this guy Pythagorean and his theorem?" It just never happened. You don't have to go to Steve Jobs. He didn't have a degree. You don't have to go to college to make enough money to buy a college. I mean, the most I learned in college was how to score under pressure in ultimate frisbee. You don't need a college unless you want to be a doctor. Then it helps to learn in school where a patient's wallet is located. You don't need to go to college. You can work for a really bad boss. Trust me on this. I know this for sure, for a fact, from personal experience. You can work for a really bad boss even without a degree. I've had some bad ones, man. Woo! All right, let's finish out this attempt at a podcast with a movie review. This is my movie review of the film Eighth Grade. Eighth Grade, starring the amazing Elsie Fisher, made audiences both erupt with laughter and sit in weepy silence at Sundance when it appeared there in January of 2018. And if you can get two cool movie critics and industry veterans to actually show human emotion, you've either just announced one of the nearby mountains is an active volcano spewing hot lava on the town right this very second, or you are Bo Burnham, the inventive comedian and YouTube star who created this great movie. Remember how much fun 8th grade was? Oh, it was fantastic. It was great. Yay. No, it wasn't. Well, okay, maybe for two people. For the rest of us, 8th grade was a daily tortured chamber of embarrassment, rejection, and disappointment. And that was just the school lunch. Elsie plays Kayla, a girl who meets the challenges of 8th grade by being almost completely silent at school, while on the side, recording YouTube videos on the down low that nobody watches about how to be confident and cool. Wait, that's what I do in real life. Her dad tries to help, and he's a really good dad, but let's be honest, dads don't know anything. He doesn't know what to do. All dads are just guessing. I remember one time my dad, who rarely dispensed any fatherly advice, one time he gathered my three brothers and I together, and he told us, remember to try to, quote, hang around good people. Okay, then. Well, we'll try that. Here's my one big problem with this movie. I kept waiting for superheroes, big machines that transform into cars, and vice versa. Alien spaceships, warlords from a distant planet, and a comeback appearance from Shia LaBeouf in the passenger seat of a vintage Dodge Charger driven by Tom Cruise. Driven by Tom Cruise. None of these things happened. Other than that, go see 8th grade. All right, guys. So don't forget. That's it. That's it for this podcast. We'll come back with another one, and post this one on iTunes and get it cracking. Get it cracking again, and hopefully the writing gets better. Here's the sad thing. I left out a couple that I just thought were so bad. It didn't make this cut. But check out my YouTube channel. Joe Ditzel Has Some Problems. I'll post it up there as well. And we'll see how it goes. Again, I hope everything is going well in your world. I hope you're doing well. Talk to you soon.